Franks thought about it for a long time. So long, in fact, that I'd thought he was done. I went back to looking out the window. Judging by the vehicles below, we were over some sort of sparsely populated area of a military base, with only a few random, mysterious buildings here and there, with lots of wide-open desert between them. Milo had mentioned that the attack site had been west of the vast Dugway Proving Grounds, so I guessed that was where we were now.
When we get there, tell me if you feel anything.
What is there, specifically?
We're not sure.
Shockingly enough, Franks didn't elaborate. Then we landed in the middle of a field. After flying over miles of government facilities, I would have expected to have arrived at something, but there was nothing but sagebrush and snow outside. A single yellow pickup truck was stopped nearby with the headlights on. The Black Hawk's door slid open, and standing there was a vaguely person-shaped thing in a gigantic yellow rubber chemical suit. I could barely see the shape of a face behind the glare of the plastic face shield. Considering Milo had told me that this was where the Army buried all of their chemical and biological weapons, meeting somebody wearing a big, scary apocalypse suit wakes you right up. He, she, it, damned if I could tell, handed a big rubber bag to Franks. Agent Franks, we were told to expect you. Put these on. It was a man, and his voice came through a speaker on the bottom of his helmet. Franks unzipped the bag, revealing more chemical suits.
Why do we need these? I asked nervously. Who is this?
The stranger asked.
Consultant,
Franks answered. He hasn't signed a waiver. If he dies, it isn't my problem. He'll need to sign a waiver.
He was never here,
Franks said. Neither were the other multitudes traipsing through my facility all day. Same rules apply. If he leaves your side, my men will shoot him.
Understood.
The helmet turned to me. I could mostly only see my own reflection. Stay close to the agent or you will be shot. Got that the first time. So why do I need the suit? Nerve gas. If you stray off the path, you will be shot. The night suddenly seemed extra chilly. Nerve gas? Nerve gas. If you cross the fence, yeah, I got it. Cross the fence, get shot. No. If you cross the fence, the nasty shit that's buried over there will burn right through your respirator and you'll be having a seizure in 10 seconds and dead in under a minute. My men won't have to shoot you, but you'll want them to. Get your suits on and meet me at the truck. The rubberized man waddled away. What have I gotten myself into? Franks tossed me the helmet.
Hope that fits.
Up yours, Franks. I hope yours doesn't. Franks nodded.
That would be unfortunate. Nerve gas tickles.
The fence wasn't as impressive as I thought it would be. It was made of weathered old wooden posts and 3 rusting strands of barbed wire. It didn't look like it would stop an aggressive cow, let alone terrorists. This section we unofficially call the Scary Zone. Most of the rest of the base doesn't even know this section exists or what my people do. Some of the things buried here date back to the 40s, when we really didn't know a lot about storing biological agents, and everyone was in a real hurry. Many of the records were lost, so what exactly is here and where and how it's stored is questionable at best. Should be pretty safe now, but one time I saw a coyote cross this fence. He made it a couple 100 yards out into the Scary Zone, started to foam at the mouth, then just fell over dead. Didn't so much as twitch, said the man in the lead, who still hadn't bothered to, and probably never would, introduce himself. We run a much tighter ship now. If anything looks even sort of suspicious, we lock this place down tight. Nobody in or out until we're sure everything is accounted for. But storing things properly back then was a little more Wild West. There was a 4-wheeler-sized path between the sagebrush and the fence. The snow had been churned into a sandy mush from many recent sets of footprints. Walking was difficult in the rubber suit. The full-face helmet obscured my peripheral vision. The booties were floppy and clumsy. I would imagine that this thing would be stifling hot most times, but since it was just above freezing with an icy wind, it was nice and toasty. My breathing sounded like Darth Vader. I kept as far away from the barbed wire as possible, because I really didn't want to rip my suit. There were flashlights set in the tops of the helmets, and the light bobbed up and down as we went at least half a mile down the path. We'd only seen a few other staff, who had also been wearing big suits, and none of them had any identifiers on them. I hadn't seen any of the people who were supposed to shoot me if I wandered off, but I had no doubt they were out there, watching us with high-powered rifles and night vision devices. I was not going off the path. No, sir. Place like this, you could get retina cancer just from glancing off the path too hard. This particular storage unit wasn't cataloged. It didn't show up on any of our maps or tables. The units around it all date from 1943 to 1945, so that's our approximate time frame. Somebody stuck it in the ground and didn't so much as make a note. No idea what project it originated from or what the nature of the unit was. I hate, hate, hate when they do that.
Have you been down yet, Major?
Franks asked. Hell no. Not going to either. Once you people say the case is closed, we're going to cover it back up and stick a sign on it that says, Do not touch. I don't want any of my people involved with it. We'll stick to safe things, like anthrax. I thought we had all of these damn Decision Week leftovers cataloged by now. Last time MCB was out here was when a hard rain revealed one of their experiments. A deer was exposed to it and grew tentacles instead of antlers. Tentacle deer. The Army doesn't pay me enough to deal with that kind of shit. That was the second time I'd heard mention of Decision Week tonight.
Who else went in?
Just the team from your agency, a couple of hours after we sounded the alarm. They poked around, took some pictures, decontaminated, and flew out. Frank stopped.
Which team?
I bumped into him. Rubber squished and squeaked. It was very awkward. Two men, one woman. Good-looking redhead, that one. The major stopped when he realized Franks wasn't moving. Let me guess, not MCB? Their credentials said MCB, and they had all the right approvals. So far as I'm concerned, that's who they were, and I don't ask questions. So the missing unicorn team had been here already. That was news to Franks. The major began walking again. You black helicopter types, always with the games.
It's no game, Franks muttered.
My job is to watch things so awful that a single vial could kill a city. Anything less than that sounds like games to me. You know, Franks, all of this being manipulated and lied to, now you get to know how hunters feel about you guys. It felt good to laugh at him. Sucks, don't it? His helmet rotated toward me. I couldn't really see his face, but I could still tell he was contemplating throwing me over the death fence to look for foaming coyotes. But he didn't. Probably decided I might still be useful. Then it was back to waddling. Several small red flags had been stuck into the ground, and the major took a right when he reached them. There was no real trail here, but the feet had made a path through the snow. The sagebrush grabbed at my clumsy booties and tried to trip me. I was glad when the major led us onto a clear spot where the annoying knee-high bushes were missing. Motion detectors went off at 0400 yesterday. Our responders found this hole, and we lowered a camera to find the seal broken. Since there were tracks leading out, but not in, that's when we called your agency. Tentacle deer was enough for me. It's your problem now. It seemed strangely familiar, this cleared area. And then the hazy, half-forgotten dream from the night before came rushing back, and my knees turned to jelly. I had seen this place before. Slowly turning, I confirmed that the open spot was a perfect circle. The brush hadn't been cleared at all. It simply wouldn't grow above what was buried beneath. In the dream, there had been a hole in the middle, with a rusty ladder leading down to a hatch that was never intended to be unsealed. I was scared to look, because to confirm it was to confirm my worst fears. I hadn't volunteered to be the chosen one, or poster boy, or whatever the hell I was, for a bunch of dead hunters and the combined forces of good, and I dreaded when they tried to tell me something. Experience taught that when I dreamed about a case, it meant that bad things were on the horizon. For a moment, I couldn't spot the hole, and I felt nothing but relief, but then I realized it was just a trick of the light. There was a depression in the snow. The footprints led right to it. The major pointed one black rubber glove at the hole.
There's your containment unit.
Shit.
What?
Franks asked. If the dream had been prophetic, sent by Mordecai or Bubba or whoever, then at the bottom of that shaft would be scratched the symbol I'd been terrified to finally find in real life. The mark that belonged to a being that would bring about the destruction of mankind. The mark that would end my father's life. Nothing. I didn't need to see his face behind the mirrored visor to know that he didn't believe me. Franks waited. I've seen this place in my dreams.
You didn't mention precognition.
Frank sounded accusatory.
You're a terrible psychic.
Well, the major coughed. I didn't hear that at all. I'm gonna go wait by the fence. He waddled off. I can't go down there, Franks. It's dangerous. Franks reached for his side instinctively, then realized he couldn't reach his pistol through his suit. No, I think the danger's gone. I just can't. I can't see... Look, if the dream was right, there's a mark down there. It'll kill... I can't explain. My father... It's complicated. The faceless suit watched me. It's not like that, Franks. I can't go down there.
Hunters make everything complicated.
The story came spilling out. My dad was supposed to have died a long time ago, but he was kept alive by, I don't even really know by who, all to prepare me for the end of the world. He warned me about a mark, and when I see it, then I know it means the end is here. He's supposed to deliver a last message to me, but then he'll die. I saw that mark in my dreams last night, scratched into whatever is at the bottom of that ladder. If I go down there, I'll know it started. I'll have no choice. I'll have to hear him out. When his mission is over, his borrowed time is up and he dies. I can't kill my father, Franks.
Franks was puzzled. Will the world end anyway?
Probably. Dad certainly thought so. The war was coming, no matter what. I just can't. Franks looked at me, then the hole, then me again. It would have been easier if he'd called me a coward, but he simply went over to the hole, found the ladder, and began climbing down without me. Franks' headlamp disappeared, then I was alone, standing in the blighted circle as the cold gradually leached through my suit. Dad was mad at me. He'd accepted his death, and couldn't understand how come I couldn't, too. He had been preparing for it his entire life. I had only been kicked in the face with it recently. Finding out that I was the one who was supposed to fulfill his life's work had been a relief for him, a burden lifted. The selfish old bastard had been glad to dump it all on me. And now he couldn't grasp how come I wasn't eager to simply hear his message and end his life. The hole taunted me. I had seen too many things to doubt his story. I'd faced alien gods and ancient horrors. I'd swam through another reality and been inside the blank, gray hell of a mind torn to pieces by a demon. If Dad said he'd been given his life back and sent on a mission to help me head off the apocalypse, then I believed him. The decision would have been an easy one if his life hadn't hung in the balance. I was sick and tired of being manipulated by forces beyond my understanding. It was even more obnoxious to discover that they'd been manipulating my family long before I'd even been born. I dealt with the other threats on my own terms, and I'd made things work out. Just because Dad was convinced he had to do it the way these mysterious others wanted and throw his life away in the process didn't mean that that was our only option. Screw the others, whatever they were. I'd do this my own way. Maybe I could handle this and not involve him?